Odyssey celebrates Thanksgiving, brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best mobile network in the U.S., according to Ookla speed test.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Late in the fourth quarter, he's been great on this drive. The
clock winds under four. End zone wide open. Odunze for the Bears touchdown. And Chicago not finished yet.
Second down, a pick, a boot. Williams running.
Caleb Williams into the end zone. Did he stay in bounds? Now they say yes, a touchdown, 17 yards, and the Bears have taken the lead. A shanked punt, and then a minute later, the Bears have come all the way back and lead with a minute 47 left.
It's time for the Score Evening Show, weeknight 6 till 9 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Shot! City! For the better part of the next 3 hours. I am your voice. This is Anthony Heron on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Any breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Guess that my guy Adam Studzinski is booked for us tonight. They will join us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. And you may not have noticed, but guess who's at the top of the NFC North standings? That's right.
Bears.
Your Chicago Bears. That's right. You tell them. We don't care about these tiebreakers. Bears are number one. We'll see if they stay there. Haven't taken the North yet, but they're grabbing at it. We'll see if they can hold on to it, testing that grip strength for what they got going on right now. Yeah, the Lions beat them back in week two, and so we got some stuff to figure out since then. But, man, if they've been figuring stuff out, winning 6 out of their last 7 games. Packers with that tie. So they've also got 3 losses, tied in the loss column that you loss column folks like to talk about. We don't care about that. Bears are 6-3. Lions are 6-3. First place in this division. And it's been great to, you know, I've tried to be the shepherd. You know, I've tried to shepherd along the discussion of the Bears as a whole, but also, of course, the Bears' young quarterback. Because there is, understandably, so much angst, which ends up bringing about so much division when discussing the Bears' young QB and the team as a whole. And it back in 2018, there was still a lot of that in discussing Mitchell Trubisky, and there continues to be a lot of it right now in the midst of a winning season that the Bears are experiencing right now in 2025. Right now, the situation the team finds itself in, though, is that you've got this second-year quarterback, and he's paired with this first-year head coach. But a guy in Ben Johnson that came in with so much anticipation, so much ballyhoo, if you will, a lot of headlines for the last couple of seasons about what Ben Johnson could become as a head coach. And so pairing him, this offensive mastermind, I don't know that tagging him as a QB guru necessarily fits, because he didn't necessarily have to train and nurture a young quarterback, but he seemed to be a wizard with how he got things done in Detroit. Both the traditional sensibilities of offensive success with a run game, with formational versatility, with a quarterback who could defeat you from the pocket, but then also the creativity, the versatility, the exotics, the trick plays that became such fodder for everyone to discuss and enjoy. And it takes a certain amount of confidence to call that. You think back, I mentioned 2018, and think back to the time that Matt Nagy was here leading the Bears as the head coach slash offensive play caller. Season one of Matt Nagy, and frankly, the first half or maybe two-thirds of season one of Matt Nagy, was when we did see a head coach and offensive play caller who was willing to be tricky, creative, cute with how things operated on offense. And then when the fans started to get filthy and things weren't going as well as a team, we did see that creativity begin to get sapped from Matt Nagy. We did see the daring nature that he was willing to showcase sometimes as a play caller. That went out the window. It was just about how do we gain a yard? How do we do something traditional? How do we find a way to move people off the ball or to get the quarterback to read the field? And there was a lot of that you just saw a very different version of Matt Nagy. But part of that, back at that period in Bears history, seven seasons ago, you had a guy who not only hadn't been a head coach before, but hadn't been an offensive play caller very much during his football journey either. Matt Nagy wasn't calling the plays in Kansas City, as we know at this point. And so 2018 was a lot of the Vic Fangio defense, and yes, some cute and clever plays mixed in, and a team with that Khalil Mack acquisition that things just started to roll and snowball. And 2018 was a lot of fun. Now, if my shoulders work better, I'd hurt myself patting myself on the back, because I was warning people on this station and on other platforms even in 2018. I'm not really clear what the offensive design is, what the personality is for this Bears offense, what exactly Matt Nagy's trying to accomplish. And I see a young quarterback at that time, Mitch Trubisky, who's trying to figure some stuff out, but in a system that doesn't seem to be putting him, that Bears O-line, those Bears playmakers, in a position for consistent success, putting them in positions to win, having a schematic advantage on opponents. This feels so different from that. And the Bears might not win this division. The Bears might not even make the playoffs. But what I'm really encouraged by is the litany of Bears offensive play callers that I've had usually the pleasure, certainly the privilege, the entire time I've been here on The Score, over at Fox 32 or other places talking about this team around this city and around this country. Ben Johnson is in his bag consistently, and it's not in a way where he is consistently trying to out-clever the opponent. We see a version of Bears offense now that continues to value the run game and that continues to respect the necessity that's there for taking pressure off of various position groups. How do I occasionally find back-to-back plays where the O-line doesn't really have to block very much? How do I find a series here or there where my quarterback isn't some stationary target reading the full field? How do I find these moments where my receivers get to just make a violent release off the line of scrimmage and try to burn past people using some open field speed? He constantly keeps these things in regard. And the offense as a whole benefits from that. And what's cool to me is that it's so obvious that everyone doesn't have it all figured out yet. But then this combination that's there is what has me so excited about how things can continue to grow for the Bears. Because Ben Johnson and JT Barrett and these offensive coaches, how they're going about developing Caleb Williams, Declan Doyle, certainly shouldn't forget to mention the offensive coordinator, but how they're going about developing. Caleb Williams is at the top of the pyramid of importance, but at the same time, what's really cool to me, and we're hearing Ben Johnson himself put voice to it now, and we'll get to some of the Ben Johnson sound. Studs and I will play it for you a bit later in the show, where Ben Johnson himself is kind of in the process of recognizing that and, frankly, appreciating that as well. So that's where this combination of Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams as nightmare fuel for their opponents, that's one of the most encouraging things about where the Bears are at right now, because you've got a quarterback in season two, a head coach in season one, and yes, people are going to continue to develop more and more of a book on how Ben Johnson operates as Bears offensive play caller and as Caleb Williams quarterback tutor. But beyond that, they can get the book as much as they want. But what really stands out about this combination is something that's really still in its infancy of development, is the way that Ben Johnson, while working with Caleb Williams, is recognizing that he doesn't have to be perfect. He doesn't have to consistently outsmart the opponent on every individual down. He doesn't have to consistently have his offense in the perfect play. He doesn't have to every single snap be confident that he has fully schemed up some wide open receiver, which apparently he does more than any other coach in football already. But Ben Johnson himself is taking solace in the idea that he's got a quarterback who can also be, as he terms it, Houdini, who can pull some magic acts here and there. When a play doesn't work, when a receiver slips and falls, when a route combination isn't in phase, when pass protection breaks down, he's got a playmaker who can still make him look smart. He's got a quarterback who can still make magic happen. And that there is a delicate balance. Like if the Bears were 3-6 as opposed to 6-3, it would probably be more difficult for Ben Johnson to appreciate where his quarterback is at in his development right now. I'm not saying it'd be impossible, but it would certainly be more difficult if the Bears were in the midst of losing a bunch. What's so cool about where this organization, where this franchise is at right now with this version of the Bears is that compiling win after win, winning 6 out of their last 7, and the schedule's about to get more ferocious. So we'll see, you know, if they start dropping some games here, we'll see how Ben Johnson sounds. We'll see how Caleb Williams sounds. We'll see how you Bears fans sound. But it's fun to be on this roller coaster right now. It's fun to be riding in this direction with this squad at the moment because it is very imperfect. But Ben Johnson knows it. Caleb Williams knows it. The Bears defenders know it. A bunch of guys on it. They recognize there's room for growth. There's meat on the bone. There's a direction they can take this thing that's far beyond where they're currently at in their development. So I don't lament the success the Bears are having against the current schedule, because the 4-2 start last season was partly about the schedule they'd faced up to that point. And then by the end of it, when they went on that 10-game skid, a lot of those were non-divisional games that they were losing. And the talk last year in 2024 was the Bears have a chance to kind of make something happen here. You get through the first half of the schedule, they won't have played a divisional game yet. They can really fly out of the gate with their rookie QB and give them this soft landing spot and all these other things. And none of that materialized. It all fell apart rather drastically, very quickly. Now there's this version of the Bears that we're watching get through the first 9 games, building the air quotes momentum. And as they're doing it and winning in the midst of it, the faith, the trust, the camaraderie at an all-time high that's being built between all of them can continue to manifest itself into continued growth. That's how things tend to operate in locker rooms, where success breeds success, where tangible evidence and gains breed additional trust. And they can tell they're in this thing together. But the combination of Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, and not only Ben nurturing Caleb's skills, but Ben learning how Caleb can make him better as well. And that's such a cool balance to see the two of them figuring that aspect of their relationship out together. Ben is the coach. Ben is the experienced NFL mind and all those other things. But he's also got this virtuoso as a talent, as a quarterback. And it's one thing he did reference when he first got the gig, that Caleb's skill set is different than that he'd worked with before with Jared Goff. So he knew this was going to be a process for him figuring out how to balance that, how to make that work, what makes Caleb tick, and how can he go about having the most success he can. It's still spotty. It's still inconsistent. But, man, it's a lot of fun in the fourth quarter. A lot of folks out there talking about it. I want you to be able to talk about it with us as well. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. We don't know what this weekend brings. We don't know what the next month brings. We don't know what the rest of the season brings with any certainty for the Bears. It's more difficult for those of us on the outside to live in the known as Caleb and the Bears are beginning to talk about here. But we can certainly live in the now. And now has been a lot of fun watching them roll off these games, watching them be now at first place in the NFC North. Want to hear from you. And especially now that we are officially beyond the first half of the season, I want some plaudits, some platitudes. Want to hear who is the first half MVP of the Chicago Bears? Who is the offensive MVP? Who's the defensive MVP? Who's the most improved player? I'm going to give you my thoughts. I'm going to ask Studs to give me his thoughts as well as we get through this first hour of the show. Then we get some guests rolling in as well. Herb Howard is going to be with me. Joe Cowley will be with me to talk some Bulls later. We'll get Bruce Levine on the line to talk about what's happening at the winter meetings on the baseball sides of things. But I want to hear from you. 312-644-6767. The Bears are 6-3 in first place in the NFC North. Let me know what you feel about it, Chicago. I'm Anthony Herron. This is Score Evenings on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Odyssey celebrates Thanksgiving, brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best mobile network in the U.S., according to Ookla speed test.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
We understand the urgency that's at hand. We know where we are in the NFC right now. But I think the biggest thing in the message to the team is we're a 6-3 team right now that's looking to get to 7-3.
You're listening to Score Evenings, weeknights 6-9.
I'm Anthony Herron. This is Score Evenings on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That was the voice of Bears head coach Ben Johnson. His Monday media address coming out of the game. You know, he talks to everybody post-game somewhat briefly. just afterwards, giving that first blush reaction of everything. And then, of course, we hear from Ben Johnson again when he gets that opportunity on a Monday. And we'll get some more Ben Johnson sound here a little bit later in this hour. But since we're officially beyond the first half of the season, and I'm wanting to give out some, I guess superlatives wouldn't necessarily work. I think superlatives more along the lines of kind of, you know, most likely to succeed and best dressed and all that kind of stuff. But this is certainly first half accolades, first half awards, first half platitudes, something along those lines. Now that we are 9 games into the 17-game schedule, and I'd love to hear from you at 312-644-6767, just where you're at with this first half of the season for the Bears and standout players. And yes, Caleb Williams is certainly on the table if you'd like. On the defensive side of the football, I'll start there because when we go back to the preseason and watching the Bears during whether it's mini camps or OTAs, certainly taking a close look at them during training camp where they were out there on the practice field and, you know, just watching how individual players were sort of getting accustomed to how Ben Johnson operates and how schematically this version of the Bears would suit them. There's a lot of pre-existing talent on the Bears, guys who had been with this organization prior to now, guys who'd been with multiple teams in a lot of cases before this. But to me, the defensive player of the first half is Tremaine Edmonds. And I expected Tremaine Edmonds to improve this season. I thought he would look better, but I wasn't necessarily confident that he would look like sort of this fully realized version of himself, where he's a player who's over 6'4", you know, every bit of 250 pounds, runs like a deer, really long limbs, and just moves well. Good ball skills as a linebacker also. So, you know, we obviously know the Bears, most recent Hall of Fame linebacker, Brian Urlacher, there's a lot of those physical attributes that you could attribute to Brian Urlacher. And so when you're describing the size and athleticism of Tremaine Edmonds, some corollaries you can make between he and Urlacher, and we know Urlacher is now a Hall of Famer. But you didn't see the level of production from Tremaine Edmonds that really suited anything near that, at least before now, before this season. He's always been a good player, a well above average player. But Tremaine Edmonds in his actual production throughout his career prior to this season, because he is so gifted, he's kind of been that guy that consistently in NFL circles been thought of like, man, if he ever puts it all together, he can be special. But he hadn't necessarily been special yet. He's been paid like a guy who should be a one percenter, a truly elite off-ball linebacker. And we've seen that from him most games this season. And I feel good for Tremaine Edmonds because my hope, looking at him back in the preseason, watching him during training camp, I saw a guy, and I've told you this on the station a number of times, even going back to the preseason, there were a couple of guys who really stood out that it seemed like the way Dennis Allen is operating defensively would suit them. Montez Sweat had a big preseason, looked healthy and moved well. Tremaine Edmonds was one of those guys also. And he's bringing more force towards the line of scrimmage now, which truly suits him. That aggression, that urgency, that decisiveness that he's playing the linebacker position with, it shows up so much because he is so physically capable of bringing force into blockers, penetrating into the backfield, being a bigger part, a more effective part of the blitz package. And he's putting the full arsenal together for having what I think is so far the best season of his career. And he's still not even close to 30 years old yet, which is kind of a scary thought because the guy came into the NFL at 20 years old. And for me as a guy who was always young for my class, but certainly never had all the physical attributes I just described for Tremaine Edmonds, but I know what it's like to be the young guy everywhere you are. And for him, he's still got so much football in front of him where he's just entering his prime. And I'm glad that he's now, that we're seeing a player who seems to be fully realizing his full potential as a linebacker. That's a great thing for the Bears to watch that part play out. I'll give you a few more of my first half of the season superlatives or awards in a moment, but I told you I'd get out to the phone lines at 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. That's my defensive player of the first half. I'll get into some more of that a little bit later, but let's go out to Wayne, who's in Lafayette. I want to talk about what's happening with the Bears. What's up, Lane?
Great talking to you again, Big Ant. Been a long time, my friend. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I appreciate you making the call.
Hey, yeah, you betcha. Hey, listen to Lawrence Holmes and Matt Forte today. And Matt was thinking, talking just like I've been thinking. He said he was grew up with Michael Vick, and he kept running and running and running. He kept doing less and less and less, the more hits he took. And he says he'd like to see Caleb use his arm more, because quarterbacks just aren't made to take all those hits like they take. And he says it affects them. It really does. And he says, and you know that as a lineman. He says he'd rather see Caleb use his arm a lot more, and he'll be around a lot longer, and we might make bigger scores even than that. You know what I'm saying? So I wonder what you think about that, big buddy.
Yeah, I appreciate you, Wayne. And I agree with that, just as an overall sort of thought on quarterback development, because for Caleb, you know, it's not like he's not being put in a position to attempt many passes. There's a number of pass plays being called by Ben Johnson. But then just as you get through the course of a game, and if we look at the game the other day against the Giants in a vacuum where Caleb had 36 pass attempts, it's one of a number of games this season he's had 35 or more pass attempts. He's had 4 games with 35 or more pass attempts so far. So the Bears are certainly calling pass plays. You see some of the Caleb runs that are scrambles, a couple here or there that are of the called QB variety. I like the fact that for where Caleb is at right now in his development, that especially in recent weeks here, we're seeing a more decisive version of Caleb who's willing to just tuck the football and gain yards, hurt the opposing defense with his legs. But I do see that. I do feel like we're seeing a version of Caleb that's counterbalancing that with, at least initially, trying to see the field within the design, within the framework of what Ben Johnson is calling. I know there was a lot of conversation. I was having it on this station and other places about that Baltimore game. Caleb was bad against New Orleans because it felt like everything was off script and he wasn't trying to stay within the design of the play. I thought he played fine against Baltimore. And then we see him mount a couple of wins back-to-back here against Cincinnati and New York, where the production overall is really high, and there's these critical moments late in games. But as far as just kind of executing the position as it's designed, the Baltimore game, by comparison to these last two, grading all 4 quarters, there's a lot of good film of Caleb from within the pocket, just seeing the field and getting the ball out of his hands cleanly. As you can say, he didn't do as consistently the last 2 weeks. But you can certainly make the case. The offense, though, has moved the ball more consistently, and certainly in the red zone, the Bears have been more effective because of the overall threat that Caleb now presents to the defense as a runner, as a playmaker, as a play extender. And you know, with some of the drops factored in from this past Sunday, there was more combustibility available to this Bears offense, more explosiveness that could have been there if he were linking up with the receivers on a more consistent basis. Some of that, some of his errant passes, some of that, guys just dropping the ball. But there's a lot of promise there. So if we're talking 5 years from now, I don't expect we'll see Caleb running around quite as much as he is right now. But I feel like he's a young playmaking quarterback who, for where he's at the moment, I'm good with him using the legs in the way that he does. Because you don't see him like the Giants quarterback, Jackson Dart, that's running like he's a fullback or running like he's Josh Allen. That's not what Caleb does. Caleb will slide. Caleb will dive, even when he's diving head first. He's not trying to plow into people and, you know, kind of run like a tough guy. Some guys are tough guys. But I think to the point the caller Wayne made, yes, your quarterback, you're being put in harm's way when you're doing that a lot. But Caleb, for the most part, and I'm actually going to get into a point about Caleb's running. I'm going to want Studs' opinion on this a little bit later as well, because Caleb's moving differently to me this season. I don't know if I'm the only one noticing this or not, but Caleb as a runner, Caleb as a scrambler, Caleb as a playmaker and play extender, I'm good with it for now because I know I've been on the other side of that with the pressure it puts on the opposing defense. Steve is out in Glenview as well, wants to get involved in this conversation. What's up, Steve? You're on the Score.
Hey, man. How you guys doing? Fantastic. Great listening to you. When I was sitting here listening to it, I sort of changed my mind on the offensive MVP. Caleb's the obvious choice. He also gets, you know, penalty if they don't win. But right. The offensive line and being able to run the ball mm-hmm. is huge. I mean, it opens up the passing game. You know, if they can't run, you know, like the first couple of games, they had problems running the ball. It just, the offense looks horrible. So I'm going to say the offensive line. I'm giving it to the guys down in the dirt.
Okay. Now, sure. Steve, have you ever been an offensive lineman?
Years and years ago. I was a tight end, so I was a hybrid.
Okay, all right.
I have an appreciation for it.
All right. I figured as much, because I think a lot of times, and thanks for making the call, Steve, a lot of times our sensibilities with what we're watching and what we really find important, what we're willing to appreciate will be impacted in a certain way, whether or not we've actually done that before. If it's a job that we've done, a job that we know the rigors of, that we've kind of persevered through, then you have a different type of appreciation for it. My guess was that Steve has had his hand in the dirt before. I didn't know for sure, never met Steve. I don't think I ever met Steve. So it doesn't surprise me at all. Said he was a tight end, hybrid type. But I appreciate Steve recognizing the line of scrimmage. And that does actually, that brings me to my offensive player of the first half. Because this offensive line that Steve from Glenview was referencing a moment ago, across the board up front, you saw the Bears' O-line struggling early in the season. You saw seemingly everyone on the Bears struggling a lot through the first half of the year, especially on the offensive side. And the defense had their warts as well when you look back at that Detroit Lions game. But the thing that I feel like was going underappreciated early in the season, as so much of our gaze, I'll use the collective we, the collective us, the collective our gaze was trained on how Caleb Williams would learn Ben Johnson's offense, how the Bears quarterback would mature and develop within the Ben Johnson system. But it really discounted how new this was for everybody else on the Bears offense. The offensive line was figuring this thing out early in the season too. And so, yeah, whatever issues were there with the cadence and with false starts and with misalignments and with blown assignments, defenders scot-free into the backfield, at times unblocked, those things showed up a lot on the O-line early. And that Detroit Lions game that I referenced a moment ago, one of the worst games of football I think Darnell Wright has ever played. Now, the actual just pure blocking assignments, he still certainly had some nice moments against Aiden Hutchinson and others. But the consistency of those penalties were showing up a lot in Detroit. They did again a bit the following week in Dallas. But those uncertainties, when you're thinking as a football player, it makes it a lot harder to play fast, to play aggressively, to play with urgency, because you're just uncertain about what you're supposed to be doing. And the next thing you know, the ball's getting snapped and you're moving. Maybe you move a little early. Maybe you move a little late because you're not completely comfortable with what you're trying to get done. I feel like that was Darnell Wright in the first couple of weeks of the season. But now we've seen a player who, kind of like I've referenced with Tremaine Edmonds, we're seeing a version of Darnell Wright that is approaching the height of his powers, is playing at a level like some of the special tackles in football. And, you know, I don't know anybody else in the NFC that's going to have a legit chance to be on the all-pro team as long as Penei Sewell is walking the earth and doing it with shoulder pads on. So Darnell Wright, he might not be all-pro anytime soon, but he is performing at an incredible level, especially in recent weeks here, with the bionic elbow going on, as we call it in football parlance. If you've worn one of those elbow braces before, you got the RoboCop thing happening, the bionic elbow, Darnell Wright's playing football at a really high level and doing so with like 1.5 arms. If you watch that block, I was referencing it on the midday show with Raheemy Harrison Grota yesterday, where Brian Burns is trying to spin inside and Darnell Wright doesn't even lift his right arm. Now, part of it is his pass set. Part of it is his trust in the positioning that he's gained, where he got the advantage out of his stance. And he was just in position waiting on Brian Burns, and he felt like, you could tell, he read the telegraph of Burns preparing to spin inside, and he was ready for it and just stabbed him right in the chest with that left hand and popped him. And there goes Burns. He started off perpendicular, then ended up parallel. And I don't know if the first thing that hit his head was his shoulder blade or his neck or his head or whatever. It was almost like, you know, like they could have called targeting on the ground, because that was what hit first for Brian Burns, crown of his helmet. But Darnell Wright played an extremely high level as a pass protector and a run blocker. That's my offensive player the first half for the Chicago Bears. Could potentially be my most improved player as well, but a different direction for that a little bit later. Come back around to some first half superlatives a little bit later. I'm going to get Studs' thoughts on some of those also. We'll continue to hear from you a bit as well, but I promised you we would hear from Bears head coach Ben Johnson. Let me take a timeout and get back, and we'll hear from the head man of the Chicago Bears and the topic specifically of how he is now sort of learning and processing what makes his quarterback tick and how their combination of skills can really continue to have this Bears offense be placed in a really special position. We'll hear from the head man of the Chicago Bears next. I'm Anthony Herron. This is Score Evenings on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Odyssey celebrates Thanksgiving, brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best mobile network in the U.S., according to Ookla speed test.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Just watch him from afar. He just seems like he's more comfortable with his decision-making. You know, last year, I think, first of all, the offensive line's a lot better this year. Plus, he's more confident where he's looking and going through his reads instead of just holding the ball a little too long and dancing in the pocket and doing some things when maybe guys were open and he was trying to make a wild play. I think he's understanding the game a little more, has better protection, and I think his coach is putting his eyes in the right spot.
Score Evenings, weeknights 6 till 9.
That was the voice of Rex Grossman. He was on the station earlier today on the Midday Show with Raheemy Harris and Grody. Former first-round pick for the Bears, former Bears quarterback, NFC champion. We'll hear a little bit more from Sexy Rexy later on in the show, the next couple of hours. I'm here with you until 9 o'clock tonight on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And with him describing Caleb Williams, and especially from the perspective of a guy himself who came into the National Football League as a first-round pick to the Bears, the pressure cooker that it is, because Bears fans have been starved for QB excellence throughout all of our lifetimes, essentially, for any consistent, sustained excellence from any singular quarterback. Everyone's been hoping for that. Everyone's been waiting for that. So many of us have been praying for that. And so it does enhance the spotlight and the scrutiny on everyone who ends up lining up behind center for the Bears. Rex Grossman has been there. But now we have a coach. And it's one thing that Caleb Williams himself has described in the continually growing relationship that he has with Bears coach Ben Johnson, because there is not only a mutual respect that's there, but there's a feeling of them having each other's back and recognizing what this scrutiny, what this spotlight is in the city of Chicago. Ben Johnson was talking to the media yesterday about his young quarterback, and it really stood out to me, and it's beginning to stand out to me more and more in recent weeks, the way that Ben Johnson is describing Caleb, and it grows because now they've been through stuff together, and he's getting to know Caleb and what makes him tick. But he's always seemingly as honest and forthright as he can be with the pros and the cons of how he assesses things. And that's one of the things he talked about with the media yesterday, just in his quarterback and assessing the overall play of Caleb Williams with some of the hits and the misses.
We just watched the whole game together. He made a number of really, really good plays that we needed in the moment. And there's a handful of them that, you know, we talked about, and in hindsight, you might play them a little bit different. Same thing for me as a play caller. There's a number of calls that I probably want back. In those two particular instances, the first one, we felt like we had enough time to hang in the pocket and throw that ball to DJ without breaking contain. And it's a balancing act for him. He feels the pressure, and like I've been saying all along, he's got a natural ability to know when to escape and carry on. And that's not something that we want to take away from his game, but we are encouraging at times when we see it where we can hang in there and either get the throw down the field or check the ball down. So the one to DJ, we felt like there was some space over the top there that we might be able to throw him open into in the end zone. And then the second one is, if I remember it right, we had a number of crossers on that play, and I thought a couple guys popped. It's a play that we hit. He threw really well in practice. We felt good about, and it's probably another one that he felt like he felt the pressure, got out of it, but we could probably hang in there and deliver that ball down the field.
And so you hear Ben Johnson evaluating Caleb through the lens of the offensive play caller, the play designer, and how he would hope that the play can be executed from the confines of the pocket in seeing the field and being able to deliver the football and in not evacuating the pocket too quickly. There is that delicate balance for a quarterback like Caleb, who we're seeing does have this ability to extend the play, to evade rushers, and it was there in college. He looks like he's moving a little differently to me, and I'm going to talk to Herb Howard about that in a few minutes here, but that's one thing Ben Johnson addressed as well, is Caleb's ability to evade the rush.
It's a work in progress. You know, I think the more comfortable he gets within the offense and the more trust he has in his pass catchers that they're going to be where they're supposed to be, that he'll continue to play within the rhythm and the timing of the concepts. And as we're continuing to grow and develop that trust, there will be times where he takes off and he runs with it. I mean, I thought what he did yesterday in terms of evading that rush, that's a rare quality for most quarterbacks, and I don't know many other in this league that could have done it to the extent that he did yesterday.
I mean, when he gets into the mode, and we're seeing it more and more now, where there's a suddenness to Caleb's movements, and as he drops back, he does seem to initially, he wants to keep his eyes down the field and see it, and there are more frequent moments where he's taking off running to gain yards, but his habit, his reflex is to extend the play laterally in hoping to keep his eyes down the field and set up that opportunity for a scramble mode play that can be made with one of his playmakers, usually outside the hash marks, outside the numbers somewhere. But it's tough as a defensive lineman. Think about yourself as an edge rusher where you come out of your stance and you're trying to bend that corner against what presumably is a talented offensive tackle. And you're taking your rush angle toward where that quarterback is in the pocket. And as you're bearing down on him, you come out of your stance as a defensive end, you make the move, you dip your shoulder, one shoulder or the other, and now you're in the midst of trying to finish that rush. So you don't usually just beat a guy clean. that offensive lineman, especially an offensive tackle, is usually still shoving you to some extent. And frequently enough, he's going to be shoving you either past the quarterback or into the quarterback. So you're fighting pressure while you're keeping your cleats in the ground trying to turn the corner. So all that's going on in the midst of your pass rush move. And while you're doing that, you can see the quarterback. So you've got that additional pressure on your body, and you're fighting against that pressure while keeping your momentum moving forward. After you've made that initial move and anticipated the snap, you feel like you're beating the guy. You're just getting close to a sack. And then a guy like Caleb Williams puts his foot in the ground and then reverse pivots out. Now, not everybody can do that in the way that Caleb can, but what's frustrating about it is that frequently enough, especially when you're rushing from the blind side of a quarterback, as frequently as it can happen, you still don't really know if he sees you coming. And so that rusher is taking his rush angle and trying to finish toward where the quarterback is. Now, what you end up getting into game plan wise, and I would imagine there's plenty of film on Caleb now, you'll probably start to see more and more teams, more and more edge rushers rush toward that upfield shoulder. Because what he tends to do, not every time, but more often than not, and this gets scouted by teams who are facing offensive linemen, facing route combinations, facing quarterbacks. Are you a vertical escape guy? Are you a lateral escape guy? Do you reverse pivot out? What angle do you tend to escape to? And I would imagine you'll begin to see more and more of the teams where these edge rushers will take their rush further up the field, attacking that upfield shoulder of Caleb Williams, hoping that he may spin right into them, because it is really difficult to try and rush where someone is, and an athlete like Caleb ends up with the advantage to reverse pivot, spin out, and then start to run backwards. And man, he just looks like he's moving with more suddenness and in more of a swift way than he ever did during his rookie season or even back in college. But let's get one more portion of sound in from Ben Johnson before I get to a timeout. This is Ben Johnson talking about the legs of Caleb Williams, and I'm hearing a growing appreciation that the Bears head coach and offensive play caller has for the legs of his quarterback.
We've been able to accumulate a number of reps now over the course of the season, and like I said, we sit down, we talk about every practice rep, every game rep, and so it's a different message depending on that particular rep, but something that we've been pretty consistent with, there's times that we do need to use our legs. I think it makes us a more dangerous offense overall. You can talk to Dennis Allen about it. I think nothing probably strikes fear in his heart a little bit than a quarterback that's able to take off, because you can have everything else accounted for and you can feel pretty good about your pass rush, but yet if there's an open lane, which there tends to be when you have a four-man or even a five-man rush, the quarterback can still make you hurt with his feet. And so, yeah, it's something that we certainly want to utilize. It's not something that we want to necessarily feature each and every week, but when the opportunity presents itself, we have the ability to capitalize on it.
It's Ben Johnson, and we're hearing the verbal evolution that's there as well, because Ben has a specific design for each play that he calls, and especially on pass plays, how exactly he wants his quarterback to pull them off. But then there's also just those times where you got to trust your playmaker to make plays, and it does feel like that trust just grows with each individual week, each individual success that Caleb Williams has behind center for the Bears. I wonder what Herb Howard's observations have been about that. He's there. He's talking to Ben Johnson every time he addresses the media. He's talking to Caleb Williams every time the Bears quarterback is there at the mic. We'll get Herb Howard on the show, see what he's saying about this first place Chicago Bears squad. We'll do that next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Odyssey celebrates Thanksgiving, brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best mobile network in the U.S., according to Ookla speed test.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.